I'm delighted to welcome Minister Catherine Zappone to this Irish American Life. Minister Zappone, who is the Minister for Children and Youth Affairs, is over from Ireland for the Pride Parade here in New York City, and we're delighted that she's going to take some time out of her schedule to have a chat with us here and tell us what's in store in terms of Irish participation in this weekend's event, and of course reflecting back on the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, which was, as we know, a milestone in American and international history in terms of attention to gay rights and civil liberties, etc., etc. So, going from Minister Catherine Zappone through that to Panty Bliss sharing with you, as I said, a chat I had with him a few years ago. Enjoy, folks. First up, Minister Catherine Zappone.
I'm delighted to welcome to this Irish American Life Minister Catherine Zappone. Minister Zappone is in from Ireland. She's the Minister for Children and Youth Affairs. First of all, Minister, welcome to this Irish American Life, and thank you for connecting with us today.
It is just great to be in New York again. Thank you. And I'm so pleased to have the opportunity to speak about Pride in New York and also the Irish presence there, which has grown over the years, I know.
Yes. So can you fill us in, Minister, in terms of, I know that last year the Irish consulate, of course, these aren't the first times that Irish Americans are expressing their solidarity and pride with the parade and the community. But last year, and of course tomorrow, through the Irish consulate, and of course with the wonderful support and help of having somebody as high profile as yourself over from Ireland, it's really a celebration about pride, about Irish identity, about Americanness, etc., etc. Can you tell us a little bit about what's brought you here?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was received an invitation, actually myself and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, that one or other of us would come to New York to celebrate the Pride March, especially through the support and offices of the consulate there, but for a very special occasion. The organizers of Pride have decided to offer Ireland a Global Luminary Award for our work on marriage equality a couple of years ago, and on all the period of time leading up to that. So both Taoiseach and I are extremely proud and delighted to know that the work of the citizens of Ireland would be celebrated and acknowledged in that way as part of all of the Pride celebrations in New York, because it was, of course, the citizens of Ireland who were the ones who were willing to decide that Ireland would be a place where, you know, anyone, no matter who you are, could be free to marry the person that you choose to love. And I'm so pleased to have the opportunity to be the one to receive the award on behalf of the Irish citizens, I suppose, because I, you know, spent a lot of time working with so many of them over the last decade to achieve that great success. May I say, too, it's just fantastic to be back in New York. I think, you know, people who are listening to this will catch a little bit of an American accent coming from an Irish minister. Mm-hmm. and actually, you know, when people ask me now, why did I come to Ireland? I am from the States originally. I'm from Seattle originally. And why did I come to Ireland? And I say now it was for love. And I came to Ireland in the early 80s. Because I had met my future life partner in Boston when she came to study there at the same time I did, and then a couple of years later I followed her back to Ireland. But of course that was in the early 80s when it was you know, it was a serious matter to be a lesbian or gay person. We were certainly, gay men were still criminalized in terms of Irish law, and we had all that to contend with, as so many of the states in the United States did too. But I'm saying this is to, because, you know, it's fantastic for me to return to my country of origin, and especially New York, to celebrate Pride. I have never walked in the Pride Parade before as an American citizen or as an Irish citizen. I did live in New York City in the late 70s, And I was thinking about that, and I was actually teaching there at the time. And I was thinking about how I was with another woman, my first love, I suppose you could say. And we would go every once in a while, maybe once a month, we would head into Greenwich Village and we would look for the one lesbian bar, and it was called the Duchess. And it was an incredible experience because, of course, you know, we wanted to go and kind of check it out and see what was going on. On the other hand, terrified that we would, quote unquote, be seen, because I was teaching in a Catholic high school. She was actually teaching at Fordham University. And we thought, oh my goodness, if anybody saw us, we could lose our jobs. And, you know, but all we wanted was a really nice night out with people who were like us. And as I said, that was in the late 70s, and I don't think that pub, as we'd say here, exists anymore. But I know, you know, that was just a little bit of my experience in New York, as a young lesbian woman, at the same time, you know, out to my friends, et cetera. But I certainly knew a lot about what it was like to live in America at that time. Now, coming to Ireland, there was in the early 80s, then there was still a lot of, you know, you really did have to be closeted. But one of the great things was that we could depend on the solidarity of our friends and often our families. And, of course, Pride and the Pride March has changed so much over the years, and dependent on effectively the ways in which the laws have changed. So in the States now, of course, I mean, I will never forget when it went across the United States too, hashtag Love Wins. I think it happened after us, though, if I'm correct. We had hashtag marriage equality a little bit before that. And so, you know, all across both of our great countries, lesbian and gay people, transgender people, you know, really free to choose to marry the person that they love. So.
May I take this opportunity, Minister, to ask you, in the 70s or ostensibly before you traveled to Ireland, I imagine not foreseeing that you would spend the rest of your life or the sizable portion of your life there.
Ireland.
What
exactly
were your, and I am guessing with a name like Zappone, there may not have been a genealogical connection to Ireland, or am I making an assumption?
Well, no, you're right. You're right about the one part of, the one side of me, which is my dad, so that would be Italian. But my mother was Irish.
Oh, there was an Irish connection.
Yeah, there
okay.
was an Irish connection.
So that's actually what I wanted to ask you, Minister.
Yeah,
what were your perceptions of Ireland, or, how did you imagine the place, if you could think back to that time?
In that earlier period, of course. I loved it. I felt, I really did feel a little bit like I had come home, though I hadn't heard really any stories in terms of my Irish ancestors actually before getting to Ireland. But I just love the culture, the spirit, the creativity, and the soul of the Irish people. I also loved, and they demonstrated that so much at the time, you know, their own solidarity with others who had come from histories of oppression, and in that context it was especially in terms of what was going on in Latin America or the Irish anti-apartheid movement or whatever it was. So it was so exciting then. At the same time, I didn't at all feel there was not a lot of freedom there at all for lesbian and gay people, but I didn't identify much with that struggle in my earlier period in Ireland. Again, maybe it's because I was teaching in a religious studies context. My partner was teaching in a Catholic university in Ireland, so that kept us kind of a little bit underground in the context, in a more public sense. But over the years, obviously, again, that changed. And I do know, and some of my Irish friends actually would have traveled, let's say 25 or 30 years ago to New York, to protest at the fact that there weren't, that they would not allow, this isn't so much in the Pride March, but to allow, lesbian and gay people to march, let's say, in the St. Patrick's Day parade. So the Irish, even in that period, were really, some of them anyhow, really brave ones, were willing to be active on lesbian and gay issues in New York, even in those earlier years. But I have to say, I wasn't one of those. So that's why it's incredible to be coming now to celebrate with other Irish people, again, with the support of the consulate. And I'm bringing a lovely group of young people, young lesbian, gay, transgender people from Ireland to march with me in the parade, along with our Consul General, Kieran Madden. And we're just really looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing.
Well, just to clarify, Minister, you may not have been active on those specific issues, but I think it's fair to say that you were, you have been very active over a long period of time, on
yes.
other things and whatever. So just,
yes.
just to make that
okay.
clear, because it makes it sound like you were doing nothing, and that clearly wasn't the case.
No, I was doing some other things indeed, absolutely.
So absolutely. One thing is, of course, this far into this chat that we're having, we haven't brought up Stonewall. And of
Stonewall,
course, this is
indeed.
An immensely historic
yes.
Anniversary. A lot of us are historians here, and that milestone of the 50th anniversary is something that really kind of provokes us in terms of reflection and things like that. Do you remember Stonewall, or what are your reflections of that period
I have
and how
to
we
say,
should reflect on it now?
Of course, I don't have a memory of it at the time. I was living in Seattle, and I was a teenager. But again, I was reflecting, given the fact that we are celebrating in the anniversary, is that, just around that time, I had met my first love, who was a girl in high school with me. And so I knew a lot about what it meant to be closeted in that context, to be afraid, to not understand what were the feelings that I had towards this girl who was a couple of years older than me, how that fit with my life, and yet our love relationship and friendship unfolded for the next 10 years or so. But that was wonderful. But I know how difficult and hard it was, and growing up when you're an adolescent, when you're kind of coping with all the issues around identity, and coming to be who you are, and then on top of that being so confused in terms of your sexual identity. There was probably a smaller grouping, but still a really strong and active grouping in Seattle in terms of LGBT activists, and I know now, having looked at the history, very inspired by what was going on in New York, and Louise Gilligan, my life partner, wife, and I wrote memoirs about 10 years ago, and we did put into the memoirs a lot of reflection on the significance of Stonewall for obviously the United States, but for the rest of the world, and how the leadership of initially just a small number of people, and how that can spread, and the ripple effect of that, and ultimately change the lives of people across the globe. And that's the way I feel and believe is the significance of Stonewall. And I cannot believe I have the extraordinary opportunity to be in New York City as this 50th anniversary is celebrated.
I suppose, in a way, Minister, on your travels, as a senior government representative,
yes.
and with people's awareness of your activism around
mm-hmm.
issues, social issues and things like that, the 2015 is a milestone in Irish history. Is that something
yes.
that you get a sense of, when not in Irish context, when you're in those
yes.
international contexts, and what kind of feedback do you get on that?
Oh, it is completely a part of conversations when I travel outside of Ireland. along with my life partner, wife Anne-Louise Gilligan, decided to take a case against the Irish state in 2003, which is effectively the beginning of the marriage equality movement in Ireland. And so for the next decade, we worked with others, our straight allies, as well as LGBTQ people, to build a movement that ultimately resulted in that extraordinary day in Dublin Castle. And in May of 2015, when we voted and we won, at the time I was a senator in the Irish Senate, and coming back into the Houses of Parliament, what was really special for me, among so many other things, is that I would meet the various ministers, Irish ministers, and who did a lot of traveling. I was just a lowly senator at the time, and whether they were, all their lives have been in favor of marriage equality or not, most of them frankly hadn't. They'd only been converted in the last year or so. They were so proud because when they traveled themselves and were with other Europeans or even in the United States, certainly in other wider, afar of fields, people would just come up to them and say how incredible Ireland was, and you are now a free country. And a lot of that was because they knew how influential the Roman Catholic Church was in Ireland's culture over the last number of years. And so, you know, they saw what an incredible change in terms of social equality that was demonstrated on the issue of lesbian and gay and transgender issues. And what I found just so beautiful to see is that they felt proud about that. Many people who hadn't been in solidarity with us or had been, you know, for so long as well up until that point. So, and certainly then in my own travels, absolutely. It's a talking point, and it continues to be a talking point. And it's because we were the first country in the world, obviously, to achieve marriage equality by popular vote. But secondly, it's because it demonstrates the incredible progressiveness and willingness of the Irish people to move and to change in terms of their culture in order to embrace those who are not like them, the diversity in sexual identity, but also now our country obviously really represents a lot of diversity in other forms, particularly racial and ethnic backgrounds too.
Well, listen, Minister, it's a real pleasure to have this opportunity to chat to you here on this Irish American Life and to hear all your reflections on such a, inspiring period in terms of Irish history and the breadth of what you've witnessed as someone who came to Ireland in the 1980s. And we're really delighted that you will be on the streets of New York with the people from the consulate and anyone else who's interested in finding out information about how to march with the Irish contingent. Please shoot us an email here to ireland.house@nyu.edu or to worldpride2019@dfa.ie. I think it's safe to say, Minister, the more the merrier. Is that correct? In terms of the Irish contingent?
Well, absolutely. And just to say too, I hope my the people I'm marching with, so all of my absolutely beautiful young people and all the Irish people who've come, who are part of America and who come with me from Ireland as we're marching, I probably might carry the American flag as well.
That's okay. You're allowed to do that. It's a wonderful synergy in terms of the changes
yes,
in Ireland
sure
over
is.
The last few years and this milestone in marking 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Thank you so much again, Minister. I hope
Thank
that this is
too.
The first of many conversations and best
Brilliant.
Of luck tomorrow with the march.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.